Tonight on Life on the Rock,
we have John Acquaviva, part two. He'll give a reflection
and much more.
Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Dr. John Acquaviva, professor of exercise science at Wingate University in North Carolina. And this is the second of two shows that we're doing with him. And on this episode, he's going to be speaking to us on body image, which is so important for us to hear today, especially with the just peer pressure and social media with our youth, of what's going on in sports and culture, modeling. So it's a message we're going to want to be tuning into. And we're now going to a reflection with John Acquaviva.
Pope John Paul II said, "Give thanks for the gift of sport. It is a privilege. It's not a right to play sport. And God asks something of you in your daily life, and He certainly asks you something when you are playing sport. If you struggle with discipline, if you struggle with some form of bad sportsmanship, my suggestion is you take that to prayer. You tell God exactly what you're struggling with. You get on your knees in quiet times, especially before the game starts, maybe just before you get to the field, and you tell God what you're struggling with, and the Holy Spirit will be with you so you can improve your sportsmanship. You can improve that standing on your team, and you can make that overall experience a better one." And I'm going to end the way I started. John Paul II said, "Give thanks for the gift of sport."
Well, John, welcome back to Life on the Rock.
It's good to be back.
You are a professor of exercise science.
That's right.
Which is interesting because you talk a lot about nutrition and strength and conditioning.
That's right.
And really how the body changes, you know, as we work out and everything. And in our last episode, we were talking about a lot about sportsmanship.
Yeah.
Now we're going to switch the gears and talk more on body image, which has become really, I think, a relevant topic for today's time. And really also ties into sportsmanship as well.
It's true.
On many levels. But this whole body image thing that we see in the culture, what is it?
First of all, that's a good opening question, because we just want to know what is body image. And body image, by definition, is just the way the individual sees themselves. So when they look in the mirror, what do they see? And it's literally from head to toe. So we say body image, but really it's everything, our face, our torso, our legs, our feet, everything, and how we look at that. And there's a lot of people, especially as they age, who have either neutral or positive body image. But the unfortunate point is that most people suffer from some form of it, especially women. Mm-hmm. And there's reasons for the difference in the sexes. But the reason that I wrote a book on improving your body image through Catholic teaching, the reason that there's a journal, a professional journal called Body Image, and books and articles have been written on this, is because so many people suffer from this. About 50 to 70% of all women do. And it depends on the demographic why that changes, but it's always a high number, at least 50%. That's a pretty high number for all women, up to 70%. And about one third of all men and boys suffer from some form of body image issues, or what is known as body distortion, or even known as body dysmorphia.
Wow. I didn't realize all that was that high.
Yeah. And it's kind of sad too, right? Because the more, and the whole point of my book is, the more we go away from our faith, the more we go from an attitude and a life of servitude for the other, the more we turn it toward ourselves, and the more we look at ourselves, and the more we focus on ourselves, and the more we reflect on ourselves, the worse things can get, even for the people who are physically beautiful.
Yeah, because whenever I hear it, like, just to me, I always just kind of think of maybe like a social media influencer, a lot of peer pressure at school. But even the way like just our culture has changed, I think in many respects, we live just a life of more leisure. Whereas maybe our grandfathers, You know, they were working, you know, in a mine or something, or out
or in
a field,
farm.
Or a farm.
Yeah.
You know, something where your looks probably didn't matter, you know, and so you're there to work and everything. But a lot of times now, I think because we do live, in one sense, a more sedentary lifestyle.
It's true.
It just allows us to just focus on ourselves.
That's right.
And then others. So I definitely see a cultural impact with all that, especially with our young who are on the social media and
that,
and or go to school, and who knows what you're going to encounter there a lot of times.
The following cannot be overstated, and you hit the nail on the head. In 1950s, around 40% of all of our population who was working worked in some form on a farm, and now it's less than 5% because of technology advances, right? But also, the differences between the 1940s and the 1950s and now is who would have ever thought of the cell phone, right? If you would have mentioned this in 1980 or 1990, people would have said, you've watched too much Star Trek, right? They would have said something along those lines, like, you're absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
But because we have this in the palm of our hands, it's almost impossible to determine the impact of social media on body image. But the one thing everybody agrees, every sociologist, every psychologist, and every physical educator, exercise scientist who knows about this, who studies this, agrees that it's probably the biggest piece of that pie. Because it's all something that we seek, but it's very powerful.
Yeah.
And if we see images on videos like TikTok and Instagram and all these other social media sites, we do one thing that was a term that was coined a decade and a half ago called the social comparison theory. And what that sounds really fancy,
mm-hmm.
but the definition is oh so easy to understand. The more we look at images of others, and especially if they're young, fit, attractive, tanned, so forth, right across the board, the more we analyze those photos and the more we compare ourselves to those individuals that we see. And of course, talk about a game that you're never going to win.
No.
You'll never win that game.
Yeah.
And further, the famous model, I think you're old enough to remember her, Cindy Crawford.
Okay.
Famous model from the 1990s and 2000s. And she had the most famous saying surrounding this whole conversation. This is Cindy Crawford talking, in which she said, I don't even look like Cindy Crawford, referring to the makeup, the clothing, the angles, the lighting, and of course, Photoshop and other digital programs that are similar to that, where they can manipulate how people look in a photograph or even a video.
Yeah, and it is hard to sometimes discern what is real, what is artificial, especially on the social media or whatever. Because some people are very talented at manipulating all that.
Oh, it's beyond a talent. Yeah. It's beyond a talent. In fact, it is sinister to a degree, isn't
it? Right.
Yeah. Interesting story. I was teaching a course, believe it or not, called Weight Loss, Weight Gain, and Body Image. That was the name of this course. It was a specialized course at the end of, called a May-term course, and it had to be something that we didn't normally teach. And the registrar, who is ahead of organizing all the classes at a college, said to me, John, your class on body image was the first one to fill up. Of course it was, right? Because people hear weight gain, weight loss, and body image. And it was fascinating. And the first speaker I had come in, every day I had a new guest speaker come in. It was a great class just for that alone. But the first speaker who came in, she was a editor for a town magazine. And it was part fashion, part kind of like decor for your home, right? It was kind of like a, you know, for every reader out there. But she started talking to my class about what was new at the time, Photoshop, right? And it was only something that editors had and so forth. And she was talking about how she took this picture of this 45-year-old pretty woman, right? She was a pretty gal. And then she goes, this is what we made her look like. And she went from looking like a 45-year-old model to about a 25-year-old model. But you could see her eyes were the same, the shape of her, but they took out every wrinkle, every blemish on her hands, and any wrinkles anywhere, any blemishes, and tightened everything on her body. It looked like the exact same woman, but it looked like she had lost 20 years of age.
Wow.
And after she was done, you could hear a pin drop in the class, and I'll never forget, this blonde-haired gal in the back raised her hand, and the guest speaker said, yes, question. And she goes, why do they do that to us? Isn't that powerful?
Well, what was the answer?
Well, the right, it was rhetorical, right? In other words, like, wow, what we're looking at isn't even real. Right. Kind of going back to what Cindy Crawford said, I'm not even Cindy Crawford. Like, these people make me look like somebody I'm not. Like, when I look at my, you know, when I look at myself in the mirror in the morning, I see defects, I see aging, I see imperfection. But when you see me in a magazine, it looks like utter perfection. And that's why she asked the question, why do they do that to us? Because that particular girl is trying to look like somebody who doesn't actually exist. And this is where faith comes in, right? If we put it in perspective and we start to ask the question, God, why did you make me? Why did you embody me, right? You're familiar with J.P. Tu's Theology of the mm-hmm. Body, right? In which he talked about there's a purpose that we're embodied. There's a purpose for the body. And it's a life of servitude, mm-hmm. right? We serve our friends. We serve our spouse. We serve our kids. We serve our community. And to go down that road of servitude, one of the things that my wife, Alicia, and I made sure we did is at least once a month, we bring our kids to a food shelter. And this, it's this community in which is deprived of lots of money and lots of goods. And there's these homeless people that come to eat dinner. We provide the food, we provide the service to these people. And it's vital that we do that because by all angles, our kids are privileged. And, right. and people wouldn't say that because we live a modest life. But in comparison to these people in need, that's why we do this. I want them to turn their hearts outward right. in the sense of what were we made for? What does it mean to be a Christian Catholic? What does it mean to serve? And when you do that, you take that reflection of the mirror from the mirror to you, right? And how do I look today? And I know that I'm not perfect, or boy, I've aged a little bit over the last couple of years, to what can I do for you?
Yeah. Well, John, that's all just great stuff to hear, but we have to go to a break.
Okay.
But whenever we get back, let's get more into the body image.
You got it.
Got it. Well, John, you said something in the last segment that I thought was really important about how a lot of the body image has been hyped, really maybe even promoted, but through the use of a cell phone, and whenever I think of a cell phone, the first thing I think of is the selfie.
Yeah.
I think a selfie is fine every now and then, but then there's the other reality that there's about 1,000 pictures where there's a selfie coming through.
Right.
And you see that a lot with the young teenage boys and girls. But as a parent, what advice do you have maybe in addressing that issue of body image?
Sure. Because social media is such a big part of this, I think it's important for parents to do two specific things. One is to delay the giving of a cell phone for as long as they possibly can. And once they have that cell phone, is to create a contract, literally. And there's if you put in contract cell phone for teenager, you would see literally hundreds of sites that come up and people say, here's how you do that. And one of the things you do is you make sure that you say you stay away from certain types of websites, mm-hmm. websites, that you do not sign up for any social media website. You're not a part of that. You limit the amount of time that they're on there. And of course, parents, it's exhausting to them. And that's one of the reasons why students get away with it, or the youth get away with it. It's really tough for them to kind of police that. But if you don't do that, if it's not policed, if it's not limited, if it's not controlled, then they are far more likely, more likely to be casualty in this body image crisis. So that's the one thing that they can do. On the flip side of that is bring home what the Catholic Church teaches. Yes, it's important to go to Mass. It's important to take them to confession once every few months, certainly at least once a year. But if they get them involved in the sacramental life, if they encourage the sacramental life, then they're more likely to see the world through God's lens, mm-hmm. and see their body through God's lens. When God made us, he didn't say anything in Scripture about that it's to be perfected, this body. He didn't say anything about you will not age. He didn't say anything about you will not have condition or illnesses or disabilities. There was nothing like that in there. It's just the opposite. We know we're going to have those things, and we've been fed a big lie in the media saying that we can be perfect. We can attain this level that everybody's going to be.
We can manufacture it ourselves.
That's right. We can do this ourselves. And it's just the sacramental life is just the opposite. Yeah. We have to have that reliance on God. And it's so important for the parent to say, you need to see yourself through the lens at which God sees you. And that is the good start to them having a healthier body image. Further, when they volunteer, as I mentioned in the previous segment, if they volunteer, then their energies, their thoughts goes outward instead of back inward. It's like, how can I help you? Mm-hmm. What can I do for you today? And the more time that they spend doing that and thinking about doing that, then the less time they reflect on themselves through their social media sites, through their selfies, through television shows and so forth. And all that needs to be controlled. There's no question. I wish somehow to the parents I could say, well, you just need to do this. But the fact is parents have to be disciplined, and they have to be pretty vigilant.
Absolutely,
to keep them off of those sites and to limit that, to do whatever they have to do to limit that, because all the limiting that they do is going to come back tenfold in healthy behavior.
And I just know, like, within the last 20 years, just how cell phones have rapidly changed.
Of course.
You know, whenever I first got one, it was just a Nokia. It wasn't even a flip phone. Yeah. It had, like, just like a yellow screen.
Yeah.
There wasn't, like, internet or anything.
Yeah.
But now it's on a whole different level. I mean, just almost completely opposite from what I was issued, you know. And that was like, I was like late in high school.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell a story in that this is, and it's actually not a story. It's just sharing some data that was collected. And this really kind of can help the parent as well. And this is one of the reasons why sport is good, kind mm-hmm. of going into the previous show that we did on sportsmanship. And that is, these researchers took three groups of people. They took a control group who didn't exercise at all or play sports. And then they took another group that exercised regularly, young people, mm-hmm. but they didn't play sports. And then the third group was the people who played sports. The people who played sports had the highest and most positive body image. And the reason was, is when they asked them, why is sports helpful to your body image? And it's because they saw their body as a tool, as a machine mm-hmm. to do what they wanted to do. They love participating in sport. Yeah. They love competition. They try to win. They love winning and so forth. And what they said was, my body is helping me do that. And so they saw their, and this is in a positive spin, that their body is just a machine that was given to them. And of course, that's why baseball players, when they touch the plate after a home run, they look up like, thank you, God, for giving me this talent to do something that I love and make a profession out of it, right? That's the right attitude that we should have. And the exerciser didn't have as good as body image as the person that played sports, but it was better than the individual that didn't do anything, because it was the same thing. They saw it as a tool to become better, to get stronger. They feel more confident. They have better posture. They have more energy during the day. And so again, they saw their body to an extent as a machine to get them through the day. And of course, the people that had the lowest body image of these three groups was the control group that didn't use their body in that way. And that's just one of the reasons why you want to exercise and or play sport.
Yeah, I think too, just with playing the sport, you recognize there's a sense of duty to put that work in the weight room or track or whatever you have to do, because in almost every sport, you just can't walk out there and expect to be great without being humbled first.
That's right. And
the preparation work is enormous.
It is. It's very humbling. And I would say, you know, what's interesting is it would be interesting to survey individual team sport players like tennis players and golfers and then look at the body image compared to the team sport player, but also look at all the virtues that are wound up in team sport versus individual sport. And I would never knock, I love golf and tennis, but there's something special about that team sport, because there's teamwork, loyalty to one another, and
communication is a big one.
and of course, reaching a goal together is, because you ask any football player, you know this, almost nobody has ever said, I miss football practice. They miss the camaraderie of it, right?
You're right.
And in spinning all this together, it is great to see people like get virtue out of sport, but it's also great to see people's body image at its highest when they play sport as a result of playing sport.
And I think, just to reflect on the positive body image, but I think even the image of our soul, you know, that greater calling, because in the end, you know, God does promise us a glorified body.
That's right.
He doesn't promise it in this life.
That's right.
It's only in the next.
That's right. And we have to keep that in perspective. And that's why perspective in sport and in body image is so, it's vital to the health of the individual, that this body was not made to be perfected. We can improve it. That's what my field is all about. But it's never made to be perfected. And we should never try for that, or otherwise we're going to be continually frustrated. And God does not want us frustrated in that manner.
Well, John, we've run out of time.
I bet we have.
But I thank you for being on Life on the Rock.
Thank you for having me.
God bless.
God bless.
Well, body image today has become such a on the forefront of in the spiritual warfare that we're often engaged with. And we have to be reminded of a lot of truths about our faith, especially our ultimate calling. That calling, that God is calling us to a higher life, to an eternal life, where in the end we'll have a glorified body. And so often we place all our confidence and trust in just in this life earth only, this life which is passing, which is fading. And the scriptures reminds us of that, you know, there's a vanity attached to this world, because we are meant for a greater calling, that God, He calls us to Himself. That's what we are created for. But again, there's a lot of noise and distractions out there in this world that kind of pull us away from that ultimate call, and that ultimate grace that God is so willing to give us. And that's eternal life, eternal happiness, eternal peace. And whenever we turn in on ourselves, that body image becomes distorted and we become miserable. But ultimately, God seeks after our happiness because He knows what is good for us. And so we have to, as Catholics, direct our body image to that image and likeness of Christ that we are called to imitate His virtues, to always pray and to pray without ceasing. And as we send you into this vineyard, may God bless you.
I was 18, pretty in pink and a prom queen. I didn't think I'd be sorry when I gave Him my love. Raw emotions, for weeks I was late telling no one. Crying in pain, I was broken when they told me. Just to feed you, so you'd know.